Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Thanksgiving Week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m., top of the hour 3 Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Give us a call, and let's talk about it right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, Bob, we do have a lot to be thankful about,
indeed.
And especially we
yes.
believers. Just the fact that we know that God loves us, that our sins have been forgiven, that we've been declared righteous, that Jesus Christ has come to live inside of us, that Jesus loves us. I mean, these are things that are never changing. There are constants in life, so it doesn't matter what we're going through, whether it's good or bad or somewhere in between.
Right.
We have the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that's worth giving thanks for.
It is.
All day long, every day,
24/7,
365. You know, that's what the scripture says. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And boy, we have so much to be thankful for. And I think if you look in the world, look out there in the world, you don't see a lot of gratitude.
Yeah.
You see a lot of complaining. You see a lot of griping. You see all sorts of things like that. You don't see a lot of thankfulness. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because people are not content. They're restless. They're too restless to be grateful. They're too restless to be content. And so we as believers, we can take the lead in that. Mm-hmm. We can show what contentment really looks like. We can show what peace in the Lord really looks like. And what it looks like is gratefulness, a thankful heart. And so we have a lot to be thankful for. I think we, like I said, we can really take the lead out there in the world and show an answer for that hope that's within us.
Yeah.
And I think it's shown through our gratefulness for all that Christ has done for us. And one of the great passages in the Word of God that really talks about that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we see here Paul is talking about the grace of giving. He's encouraging Christians everywhere back in that day and our day as well to excel in the grace of giving. This isn't something that, you know, we just do half-heartedly. If you know, at the end of the month, if we have anything left over, we'll give whatever is there. This is about really participating in the divine nature. God is a giver. God so loved that he gave. And that's a part of his nature, his essence, his character. And he has come to live inside of us. And so as we grow in our knowledge of him, as we grow in the grace of God, we're going to see that desire to give start to bubble up inside of us.
Yeah.
It's going to just want to jump out of us. And so we'll want to take our resources and our time and our talents and give of those so that others can receive a blessing through faith in Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, but as you excel in everything, so excelling in everything as far as this Christian life is concerned, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Well, what's that act of grace? Well, it is called the grace of giving. So as we're abiding in the vine of Christ, we're going to see these qualities, these characteristics starting to become more and more evident in our lives. And we're going to say, hey, I love that. You know, I love the faithfulness that God is producing through me. I love this peace that is just gripping my heart and protecting my mind through circumstances. Mm-hmm. I just love this. This is better than anything I could have ever imagined. And the same is going to be true of this grace of giving. As you learn to participate and to really respond to the Spirit of God working in you, you're going to say, gosh, that's the greatest joy I've ever experienced. I mean, we have folks who write checks to Basic Gospel and we'll call and say thank you. And they're like,
yeah,
don't thank me. We're thanking you. This is, this is just the greatest joy to be able to participate. Well, he goes on to say, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. So this is the grace of God, that Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for our benefit. And when we receive Christ, we receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in him. As we've talked about all month, we have also been given everything that we need for life and godliness. How did that happen? The one who was rich, Jesus Christ himself, I mean, he's God. I mean, he was there in the Godhead. He doesn't need anything. And yet he became one of us. He humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death. And he made himself of no reputation. He became like you and me.
No.
And he did that not for his benefit, but for our benefit, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Well, when we come to know him and he comes to live inside of us, that same grace starts to bubble up and starts to control and shape everything about us, including how we handle our money. So when Paul says, excel in the grace of giving, he is just saying, respond to the grace of God. As God's Spirit moves you to give, give. It will be the greatest joy of your life.
Absolutely. You know, every year, the celebration of Thanksgiving shines a bright, bright light on the things that we have to be thankful to God for. And friends, want to give back to you as well. And when you make your November gift and support Basic Gospel, we'll express our thanks to you by sending you a copy of Bob Christopher's message, Everything You Need for Life and Godliness. Now, you'll find all the ways to make your gift when you visit basicgospel.net or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Now, Bob, the title of this says a lot, but tell our listeners a little bit more about this message, Everything You Need for Life and Godliness.
Peter talks about that in his second letter. That's how he starts, that we have been given everything that we need for life and godliness through the precious and great promises of God. And he goes on to say that through those that we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of this world. And that's hard for many of us. For all of us. Why? Because we're constantly being bombarded by the things of this world, and the world is constantly exerting pressure on us to conform, to give in to the patterns of the world. Well, Peter is just reminding us that we don't have to give in. Why? Because God has already given us everything that we need to keep us moving down this path of life and godliness that we have in Jesus Christ. So we can have some confidence. We can get up every single morning with some confidence in our hearts, knowing that we're equipped to live the Christian life in this crazy, chaotic, messed up world in which we live today.
Yeah.
So if you're struggling, if you are looking for a sense of hope, a way out of kind of the things of this world, then I think this is a great resource for you to come to grips with the fact that in Christ you have everything you need for life and godliness.
So be sure to request your copy when you make your November gift to support Basic Gospel. You can donate at basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. In Canada, the same thing, basicgospel.net/Canada. We want you to have a copy of Everything You Need for Life and Godliness. Well, right now, open lines, and if it's about, no, say, 9 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And, guys, we had this call that came in off hours.
Yes, I was wondering. I had heard a number of preachers preach out of Genesis chapter 6, and they were preaching that angels had sex with women on this earth, and had children which were giants, and they were mighty men of renown. And I was wondering what your take is on that part of the scripture, because I've heard it go a couple different ways, and I know you have a deep understanding of the word and literal meaning, so I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate that question. It's one of the most difficult passages in the Word of God to really try to figure out what it's saying. And I think, first of all, we have to realize that, you know, things had gone mighty bad as far as the human population was concerned. The Lord, as it says in verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So that's what the condition of the world was in. Mm-hmm. And that's what prompted him to say, I've had enough. We're going to reset, basically. And he brought the flood, and then Noah and his family were the only survivors. And out of that came, you know, the new bloodline and all of that that we see through the Old Testament. But a part of this is verse 4 that says, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. So the question is, who were the sons of God? There are several different passages in the Old Testament where we would look at that and say, hey, those were angels. He's talking about an angelic being. But I don't think that's the case here. I don't think it's possible for angels to have sex with women. But that is one of the interpretations of this particular verse. Those sons of God were angels, and they came to the daughters of man, and that produced a very corrupt species, so to speak, and God had to wipe it out. But I don't necessarily think that was it. I think these sons of God could just simply be the bloodline of Seth that we see from Genesis. And it just really goes into the messiness of the human population, that sin took a bite out of us and really altered who we were. And things became really, really messy to the point that there was nothing but wickedness in the hearts of man. And that was our intention, and God did something about it. Richard, your thoughts.
Well, Jesus, I think, helps answer this question, because he was asked a question. They were trying to trip him up, and he said, well, there was this woman, and she married each of these brothers in turn, and in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And it was the Sadducees asking him the question, and he saw through it immediately. And he says, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. This would indicate to me that angels in heaven are not sexual beings.
Right.
Something is different about them. Certainly, God is not... the angels of God would not be allowed to procreate with fallen humanity. I mean, who are we kidding? I mean, now, Satan's minions, if they could, might try something like that. But Jesus says that there's no marriage or giving in marriage will be like angels. And the main point of marriage, after the intimacy of the kind of relationship that he's trying to model in humanity, of the relationship that the Godhead has, is to procreate. Well, if they're not going to do that, I don't think we have any business saying, well, you know, the angels came down from heaven, and everybody goes wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and kind of, you know, laughs nervously. Mm. No, don't go there. It doesn't happen that way. And so Seth's line, like you said, Bob, is the most logical way to take it. And if it's, you know, if it's the easiest answer, take the easiest answer.
Yes.
Don't go looking
yes.
for complication where there doesn't need to be.
Right. Any. Yeah, because you look at fallen angels, that it's just, you just won't believe the speculation about that's out there, because mm-hmm. it just doesn't reside with this little passage. It just goes on and
yeah.
on and on. You drop that little pebble in the water, and those ripple effects go out there.
Yes.
And pretty soon, you just got wild speculation on all kinds of things that are going on out there in the world, not only back then, but even stuff that could be happening today.
Yes.
So like Richard said, take the simple path and realize that this is all part of God's unfolding of a story. So one of the things that we see in this flood story is a plan of God to save mankind. Mm-hmm. And that plan was available to anyone and everyone that would get on the ark, but only a few did. So it was Noah and his family, his sons and their wives. Those were the ones that were saved. Now, what does that plan point us to? It points us to Jesus. He is the plan of God to save humanity. And so when we're connected to him, we're saved.
Yeah.
And that is such a beautiful, beautiful picture. Peter even talks about that in his letter, that becomes a picture of the baptism that does save us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, what was the plan of salvation for deliverance of physical life? It was the ark that Noah built. What did that point to? The ultimate plan of salvation, Jesus Christ himself.
Indeed. Well, that's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there, a lot of confused teaching. We hear it from the pulpit. We hear it over the airwaves and online. And I refer, of course, to the confusion this time, many times outright deception under the guise of tithing. It's no secret that ministries and churches need our support in order to operate spreading the gospel. But what is the truth about giving? Well, to give scriptural clarity to this issue, we'd like to send you a copy, a free copy, as a matter of fact, of the booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way. And it'll tell you everything that you need to know, the truth about giving. Request your copy when you visit basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Once again, open lines. If you're hearing the live broadcast, we would like to interact with you. 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Had a question from Harry, who listens on Sirius XM. He says, I listen to you guys all the time. There's a teacher who comes on before you who talks about if you mess up, God's going to take you out behind the woodshed. So which is it? Either Jesus took it all or didn't he? What is God going to beat us up for?
that's a good question. And boy, I heard that growing up, and I know many people. I think that's a common teaching.
That
you mess up, God's going to take you out behind the woodshed and give you a paddling or whatever it might be.
I remember so many times hearing that wonderful old teacher, J. Vernon McGee, talking about taking us out behind the woodshed, and that's just one.
Right. Yeah. I remember in seventh grade, I got a paddling from my principal, and it hurt, but it didn't do anything to my heart. It didn't change me at all. I was still as goofy as ever. We just have to realize that God is more interested in our hearts, and he gave us a new heart. Now, we also have to realize that when it comes to sin, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
It's not a paddling. It's not being taken out behind the woodshed.
If God takes you out behind the woodshed, look, you're not
out.
Coming back.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
So the wages of sin is death, and that's for all sin. There's no sin that carries a lighter punishment than that. Mm-hmm. The wages of sin is death. So when Jesus came, he came to taste death for everyone. And so that's what he did on Calvary, on that cross. He tasted death for everyone. So he who knew no sin, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So there was a great exchange that took place. Jesus took our sins upon himself. He became the sin offering, the substitute. And in exchange, he gave to us his righteousness. So the punishment for our sins has been dealt with. There's no more punishment. Jesus died. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. It's done. It's finished. It's over. So we have to realize that. So when we sin today, God isn't going to punish us for those sins. Why? Because Jesus has already taken the punishment. There's no double jeopardy. Mm-hmm. There's no double punishment for sin. So want to be thankful for something? That's something to be.
Go.
That is something to be thankful for. That's something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
So what happens when we do sin? Like I said, God is interested in us at the core of who we are, and he wants us to trust him. And so whatever he's going to do, he's going to discipline. That's different from punishment,
yes.
Completely different from punishment. And it's for a positive benefit, for a positive outcome. He disciplines so that we can produce or bear a harvest of righteousness. So he wants righteousness to flow out of us. So if we're struggling with the things of this world, he's going to start dealing with us on contentment in Christ and teaching us by his Holy Spirit all the things that we have in Christ Jesus, that our sins have been forgiven, that we have been declared righteous, that we do have Jesus living inside of us. And he's constantly teaching us and challenging attitudes, mm-hmm. so that we can bear that harvest of righteousness in our day-to-day lives. But that's a positive thing.
Yes.
We should welcome that. And the reason we should welcome it is because it is confirmation that we are indeed legitimate children of God.
Yes.
If God did not discipline us, if he simply left us to our own ways, he would say that would be a statement that you really don't belong to him. But the fact that he does discipline us means that we are legitimate children of God. So talk about assurance of salvation.
Yeah, there you
That's
are.
Assurance of salvation. But it's not being taken behind a woodshed and being paddled. It's simply being taught by the Holy Spirit in good times and bad times. We're always under the discipline of the Lord. That's simply teaching. And all of that. It's a very, very positive work that God does in and through us.
Yeah. One of my least favorite insurance terms is act of God.
Yeah. You know,
there's a tornado or a tsunami or a fire of some kind, and that's the act of God. And we bring that same thinking into our daily lives in terms of sin and righteousness.
Yeah.
And it's just as much a lie.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't cause that tornado. God didn't cause your sin. What he did cause was your forgiveness,
yes.
and your assurance. Let's look at it the way he actually has
provided
done it.
Yes.
And see the growth that results.
Yeah. Quick question. A listener wants to know about infant baptism. What do you think about infant baptism?
Well, there's absolutely nothing biblical about infant baptism. It doesn't mean you're going to be in the kingdom of God. That doesn't save you. There's nothing biblical about infant baptism. I was baptized when I was a baby. Have no earthly idea that happened.
My didn't mom help and dad, you at all,
yeah,
did
mom and dad had to tell me, "Oh, you were baptized as a baby," and I had a note from the pastor that I was supposed to read when I was 12. So baptism is a celebration of what God has done in our lives. Water baptism. So only those who were saved, should be able to celebrate that. So
yeah.
Infant baptism, really, I think if we looked at it correctly, we'd look at it and call it baby dedication.
Yeah. Yeah.
We as parents want to say, hey, we're dedicating our child to the Lord, and we are saying we want to bring this child up in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Of the Lord, absolutely. Great answer, guys. Thank you so much. And friends, thank you for being with us today. Please remember Basic Gospel in your giving to support the work of Jesus Christ on the airwaves. As you make your November gift, we'll send you a copy of Bob Christopher's message, Everything You Need for Life and Godliness. Now, you'll find all the ways that you can make your gift and request your copy when you visit basicgospel.net in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. We encourage you to do that. We want you to have a copy of this very insightful message. Keep in mind, too, that you can get a question to us through the 24-hour listener line, 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Jot it down, keep it handy. Or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to address your question here at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.